Hello, FAC family. It's so good to be here today joining you. My name is Dave Conard. I'm the Community Engagement Manager at the Mustard Seed. And back in March, when the world began to shut down and doors began to close, we decided that we couldn't close our doors. We needed to continue to care for the people that God had called us to care for. So we got very creative and we stayed open. And we gave people a warm place to sleep and food to eat and even a place to isolate. For those who didn't have a place to isolate. And we're so grateful that you partnered with us in this. When we ran out of space, you opened your doors and you invited us in. And we moved into the south end of your building and set up a temporary emergency shelter, and we're still there. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors, and you have done that so well over the past 7 months in our city. And I just simply am here to say thank you. Thank you, FAC family, for all that you've done. I dropped off a gift basket a couple months ago, maybe about a month and a half ago, to Pastor James, to the staff, to show our appreciation. I don't know if it ever made it to the staff. He might have eaten all the things in it, but I also wanted to say thank you. And so I have this plaque to commemorate the partnership in the last 7 months with the Mustard Seed. And I want to say thank you so much for all that you've done for us, for being a light in the city, and for bringing hope to those who need it. So thank you, FAC family. God bless.
Thank you, Dave, for your kind words, and it's been a delight to partner with you guys. And honestly, I only had one or two things. I gave most of it away to everybody else. I tried to watch my figure, but thank you. We've loved partnering with you and housing the guests here with us, so thanks for being here today and celebrating with us. One of the things we are doing this weekend is also celebrating with Ray and Dee Matheson the journey into retirement. I'm not sure that Ray would actually know what retirement looks like, and I noticed in an article in the Calgary Herald, Dee mentioned the only thing retiring around here was his salary, so we got to figure that out. He's got a lot to figure out. But for over 30 years, Ray has been part of the pastoral team here at FEC Calgary and done some remarkable things. It would be hard for us to enumerate what has gone on. Countless lives that have been touched, people who have been served or prayed for, the innumerable number of people that have been led to faith in Jesus because of their ministry. And this weekend, we're simply choosing to say thank you to them for all of the kind things that they've done and for their service here. We know they're not disappearing anywhere anytime soon, but we do want to acknowledge the wonderful gift that they have been not only to us, but literally to our city. It's hard to quantify everything. But we tried our very best in this enormous book that is filled with messages and cards and emails and all sorts of other things. Digital media that was sent, it's all been put onto a little key fob at the back that you can plug into your computer and watch. This thing weighs a ton. I'm not sure how I'm going to get you to carry it around with you. It's gigantic, and I probably need to sanitize it before I give it to you. But thank you so much. You guys have inspired generations of people here at FEC. You've inspired me. You've been my pastors. You've prayed for me and loved me. And today we simply say thank you for all that you have done.
Thank you, Pastor James. You're always so gracious and supportive. And Dee and I are so grateful to God for his calling to serve him here at First Alliance Church. It's been a great privilege to share joys and sorrows with so many of you. Thank you for your love. We treasure the memories of trusting Jesus together.
Welcome to our Vision Weekend at all of our FEC campuses, and thank you for joining with us. We have so much to be thankful for as we look back, and so much to be expectant about as we gaze forward. You know, when I think of Ray and Dee Matheson, there's a passage of scripture that easily comes to mind that I'd like to share with you today. We find it in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And the writer says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything off that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now, it's not that I'd want you to think that somehow the Mathesons are coming to the end of their earthly journey. They're not that old, and that's not what's going on. But they've certainly been in this race for a very long time. They didn't grow weary. They have never lost heart. And in reality, this journey is not simply about duration, how long we're in the race, but it's about faith that lives deep within us. They surely fit into the category of the Hall of Fame that we can read about in the previous chapter, Hebrews 11. If you've never had a chance to read that before, I'd encourage you today to take 10 minutes of your time and read through the amazing stories that are presented to us there. Perhaps you'll see why I think Ray and Dee belong there. They're heroes of the faith here at FAC. Hebrews chapter 11, it's like a PowerPoint presentation of those that have gone before us and done and accomplished remarkable things, great characters in the story of God coming to redeem and to rescue his world. Men and women of faith, you can read about Noah or Abraham or Moses, others who show us what faith looks like in action, how faith thinks, how faith weighs decisions, how faith assesses situations, how faith prioritizes and believes. Noah shows us that when God announces his intention to hold the world accountable, we better pay attention. We should quit living the way we used to live and fully invest in what's coming next. Abraham teaches us that when God has called us forward and promised something, it is well worth leaving everything behind, everything we hold dear, everything that gives us meaning in life. Moses teaches us that solidarity with the oppressed and those at the margins is what truly matters. It's of greater value than being acknowledged by those who are rich and powerful. And Ray and Dee, they have taught us how to live by faith, how to serve each other in love, how to share the great news of Jesus with those round about us. They always point people to Jesus. Here at FAC, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There are many who have gone before us. There are many who are still with us. And so I'd like to invite you to watch this with me.
Over the past 6.5 decades, FAC has been my home. My parents, Stan and Norma Jesperson, were founding members, and I was born and dedicated to Jesus here. God's faithfulness to me in all moments of life, including the questions, sorrows, and great need, has been the greatest source of peace, joy, and abiding love.
The First Alliance Family of God was our life for over 50 years. Our children were born, dedicated, taught in Sunday school and church, and GCA, graduated and married. We are so blessed. All glory to God.
First Alliance Church has been our home church for over 25 years. Our involvement has given us special caring friendships. God has blessed us and our family in countless ways.
We joined FAC in 2000, thinking that we would probably be too old to fully merge again into the life of a new church. We were wrong. FAC provided a community where we were welcomed to serve in a variety of ministries.
We are here, still standing, still believing, all because of Jesus.
God has been absolutely faithful to my family over the 30 plus years we have been attending FAC. The Lord has seen us through our absolute highs, as well as devastating lows. Through it all, God has been drawing us closer to Himself.
During our many years in Calgary, First Alliance has always been a steady beacon of faith for each member of our family. Through its influence of Discovery Land, small groups, seniors ministries, and most of all, their consistent, strongly grounded biblical teaching.
As a young family 52 years ago, we became immersed in First Alliance. Our three daughters in choirs, Sunday school, Camp Camisole, and youth groups, and ourselves in serving. The solid Bible teaching in all these areas has been invaluable to our family.
We have deeply appreciated our First Alliance Church community since our very first day in September 1979. It was then we were warmly welcomed, we became volunteers, we've been comforted during sorrow, and have shared joy in our celebrations.
God has positioned leaders and many others to walk alongside us, and we feel abundantly blessed.
I've been attending First Alliance Church for over 50 years, and for me, it's family. My parents brought us to FAC, and now we have the blessing and privilege of not only coming with our kids, but with our grandkids as well. God has revealed himself in so many ways through the ministry of this church. Great is his faithfulness.
The heroes of faith in chapter 11 are called witnesses in chapter 12. These witnesses are doing a couple of things that we should be aware of. They're certainly witnesses to the faithfulness of God. Their stories are not simply about them being heroes. Their stories are being called by God, empowered by God, sent along by God, equipped by God, who renewed them and made them bold and filled their hearts with faith. They embody the reality that life is not all about us. That's one of the hardest lessons I think any of us have to learn. It's not about me. And they're also witnesses of us. It's as though you could picture them being gathered in the seats in a stadium. They're up there looking down at all of us on the field, watching what's going on. They're not passive spectators. They're previous winners. They've completed the race, and they're cheering us on. And it's not only the saints of the Old Testament who are there, but 2 millennia of Christian saints who have devoted their lives to Jesus. The mothers and fathers of the early church, the medieval monastics, the great reformers, the evangelists and missionaries, those who have gone before us in over 80 years of service here at FAC. We're not competing in our wrestling match against sin or in the race for the heavenly prize in front of bored spectators, but in front of winning athletes, Olympic winners, every one of them. And now they witness our race. They see our joys and our successes. And they see our failures. They see when we help the poor or when we turn them away. They see when we work for justice or when we just sidle off to the edge. They see when we share the story of Jesus or when we're too timid to speak up. And they're always cheering us on. We are connected to these saints, the body of Christ that extends through space around our globe. It extends through time as well. Death does not sever the body of Christ in two. He is the one who conquered death. We are one with them in Jesus' church. And they have won their victor's crown. It's why we celebrate and remember all those who have gone before us. But ultimately, it's not about us looking into the stands or to the history books or to the people around us in FAC. We're not looking at the spectators, the witnesses. We're not looking at other contestants. We're not even looking at the finish line. We're not even looking at the prize. We learn here in Hebrews that we are looking to Jesus. I recently read the reflections of an author that I quite enjoy on this passage in Hebrews. His name's Raymond Brown, and I wanted to share a little of it with us this weekend because he says it so well. Here's what he says about looking to Jesus as we run this race. He says that we look to Jesus, the compassionate man. Jesus has known all our experience of adversity, our pain and our sorrows. When we feel that we can't summon another ounce of strength to keep joy, to keep going in this race that is set before us, we know that Jesus has endured. He made it. He was able to accomplish it. And though his race was even more difficult than ours, he reaches out in compassion to come alongside us. Jesus triumphed, and in his strength, so can we. We turn our gaze toward Jesus, the victorious pioneer. He's described here as a pathfinder or a trailblazer in faith. He has led all the people of God from ages ago all along this path of faith. He did not fail them, and he will not disappoint us. Jesus wins. We pay attention to Jesus, the perfecter of faith, the only perfecter. He brings the faith of the former saints. He brings our faith to that place of perfection. He makes it perfect all by himself. Our moral integrity is essential, but it cannot do it. Our devoted service is valuable, but it can't make our faith perfect. Our spiritual experiences are enlightening and illuminating, but they can't do it. Only Jesus can make faith perfect. We need Jesus. Those who run this race with perseverance look to Jesus, a dedicated servant who left behind the glories and trims of the royal throne in heaven to come and be like us, to be a servant even beneath us, a lowly and obedient servant who chose the path of obedience towards the cross for our salvation. And he calls us to serve in his name. We look to Jesus, the effective priest, seated in the heavens. We look to him and realize that he's already there praying for us. He's done everything that is needed. He can offer us forgiveness and cleansing and a new start in life. He takes away the things that get in our way, things that hinder, sin that could tie us up in knots. He frees us. We look to Jesus, the enthroned Lord, sitting at the right hand of God, his redemptive work complete, waiting for that moment when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. These first believers that heard these words read to them, they were about to be exposed to the trials of Caesar, the hazards of his lordship, and they realized their destiny was not in the court's hands. It was not in Caesar's hands. Their frail lives were in the strong hands of the enthroned Lord Jesus. And we look to Jesus, the patient sufferer. We consider him whenever we feel scared or exhausted. Whenever something could go wrong for us, that we might be mocked or assaulted or ignored or marginalized or handed over or imprisoned or falsely accused or even killed, but so was he. Consider him, consider his endurance when things get hostile and difficult, lest we ever become exhausted. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus so that we never grow weary, that we never lose heart. Look to Jesus so that we can persevere. It's in the times we live right now that it really matters that we look to Jesus. This pandemic experience is going to be a long journey. We all know that by now. And these words in Hebrews remind us that endurance, perseverance, faith, and courage, they're not only necessary, we find them in Jesus. Last year at our Vision Weekend, things seemed so very different. I was reporting our progress towards our M&M goals, those four M words, momentum. Our traffic counter, our foot traffic counter in the Deerfoot campus was sitting at over 320,000 people. We had witnessed 300 people come to faith in Jesus and baptized 169 of them. 38 communities were gathering together in Community Connect events. When we thought about missions, our giving was increasing. 8 short-term teams had been sent out. 183 children were sponsored through Compassion. And we had established partnerships with churches in Quebec and Thailand. Our money goal was looking at the year 2022 when we would become debt-free. Our multiplication goal, we accomplished it by God's grace. 1 year ago, this very weekend, we launched our Southwest campus at our school, Glenmore Christian Academy. And this weekend, they celebrate their birthday. It was part of a 3-year multiplication cycle. Pastor Jeff Marshall, the campus pastor there, has led our Southwest campus with passion and purpose and integrity. He's going to share just a little of his dreams and highlights with us.
Thanks, Pastor James. Well, it's definitely been an interesting first year for the Southwest campus. In our first 4 months, we saw an average attendance of 250 people a weekend, which was amazing. We had a culturally diverse, multi-generational group of people that were coming together as a family. But as the pandemic hit and we moved from in-person to online services, well, we quickly realized that we didn't have those 250 people's contact information. And that was a bit of a problem for trying to connect with people. So we quickly pulled together our key volunteers, our staff, and some of those new attenders that we knew, and we started to ask, what conversations have you had? Who are the people that you've connected with? And out of that, we were able to put together a list of 361 people that call FAC Southwest their home. That was amazing. Well, in those first 4 months as well, it was amazing to see just how much people were starting to connect. They would hang around on Main Street after the service, getting to know one another, building relationship. In fact, they stayed around so long that it made it hard for our teardown teams to actually be able to take everything down at the end of the service. They would have to work around people who were still connecting long after the service had ended. Well, the pandemic also forced us to try and figure out how we would continue that community when we couldn't get together anymore. And through some brainstorming, we came up with after-service meetups. This was an opportunity for us to go on Zoom after the 11:15 a.m. service aired and to be able to connect with one another. And as you can imagine, the first few weeks of that was very chaotic. We had adults and kids on there together, all trying to talk at the same time, but it was a whole lot of fun as well. We quickly figured out how to take turns and to be able to share together. And it was amazing to see how people began to open up to one another, how they really began to share what was really going on in their lives and what they were feeling during this pandemic. And the very cool thing for me as a pastor was seeing how people would stop people in the middle of their story and say, "Can we pray for you right now?" And prayer would break out in the midst of these stories, and people would just jump in praying more things on top of what the person in front of them had prayed. I don't know about you, but this to me is the sign of a healthy, growing, caring community. And it was so exciting to see in this period in our first year. Well, before the pandemic, we also began to offer Alpha. We had 30 participants that were coming each week. And when the pandemic hit, we quickly had to switch gears and we moved online with it. Instead of having table groups that you would sit at, we now had breakout rooms that you would move into after the video. And this was so popular that there was a need after this for us to start a Philippians Bible study, which carried through until the end of June. You know, another great thing that's happened in the process of all of this is that we've been able to acquire ministry space just one block from Glenmore Christian Academy. This is a space that offers us office space and ministry space throughout the week. We were able to open it 2 weeks ago, and now we have a couple of small groups that meet there. We have Sozo Prayer Ministry happening out of there, all socially distanced, of course, and we have other training courses that are coming up. But the really neat thing about this is that it's enabled us to put a stake in the ground, to say that FAC is here and we're committed to the southwest quadrant of the city. We're not going anywhere. We're here to meet with you, to get to know you, and to introduce you to Jesus. And I think that that's been so amazing. We're not just there on the weekends, but now we have a space to be able to connect with people all through the week. You know, our focus this first year has really been on connecting new attenders. And as we move into our second year here, we want to take those new attenders and move them into new members who are serving, who are growing together, and who are reaching out together. Our goal still remains to reach out into those new communities being built just to the south of Spruce Meadows Trail, to be able to get to know those people, to be able to connect with them. And our plan is to develop an outreach team, a group of people who will dream together, who will plan, and who will deliver whatever is needed to each of those communities. As we gather together to do that, we're gonna call in some of those community leaders to try and to continue to figure out what those communities need. But as we do that, we also know that we need to still remain socially distanced. And so our plan right off the hop for the second year is to connect with real estate agents who are selling houses to those people moving in, and to be able to offer gift baskets that will welcome those people into the neighborhood and introduce them to FAC, where we hope that we will be able to build a relationship with them and ultimately introduce them to Jesus.
Things changed. In-person services had to stop. Teams couldn't be sent overseas. Debt reduction payments were suspended. Life and ministry were different. But the church never closed, because the church is people and not a building. And while we were surprised, the Lord of the church wasn't. He's still in charge. And we looked to Jesus. We quickly adopted a rallying cry for this season, thriving today and shaping tomorrow, because my firm conviction was that we could do more than just survive as a church. We could thrive. I talked about that when you first brought me here from Amsterdam, that a church in difficult circumstances can do more than survive. We thrive. COVID may well have been a disruptor, but it was also an accelerant. Let me tell you how. In order to thrive, we outlined three time frames. The first one, now, current reality. How could we respond as things were closing? The next one was simply called next, the long haul of the pandemic that we're still in. And then came beyond, what would happen after our post-pandemic future, the new normal. We began with the immediate now and began to figure out where we were. Four immediate priorities came up to us. The first one was staff health, reducing risks, keeping everybody safe, following AHS mandates. We wanted to keep everybody safe, both healthy and emotionally and physically. We have a brand new staff health monitoring system in place that helps with that. We wanted to focus on ministry capacity and retain what we could. That involved digitization as we put as many of our ministries online as possible. And it included mobilization, gathering volunteers who could serve our city in spectacular ways. It involved financial stability. There's a lot of things we can't control, but there are some we can. And so we implemented an agile cost management program, suspending mortgage payments, limited short-term layoffs, and quarterly budget cycles. We prioritized adaptive innovation. It gets me excited because for 5 years now, we've been talking about our church family as being R&D, remembering that we're far more afraid of missing opportunities than we are of making mistakes. Innovative highlights, you've heard some already. Welcoming 110 guests from the Mustard Seed, experiencing homelessness. Currently, we're developing the unused third floor of the Deerfoot campus to be able to house them upstairs in even better accommodation. Our kids' lunch program that supplied 47,000 meals this summer to children who faced food insecurity, and we're now doing after-school snack distribution. Partnering with the food bank to become a distribution center for them. Developing the FEC at home page and our website to make a quick access to all of our resources. Drive-in movies, outdoor baptisms, parking lot games, Zoom prayer meetings, online alpha, swag bags for kids, resource kits for parents, a translation system into over 100 languages, our digital choir you saw today. The church never closed. We got busy doing Jesus stuff. The things he told us to do, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to care for the vulnerable, to pray for the sick, and to proclaim the gospel. The church never closed. We're currently living in the next. The pandemic continues, and so do we, with two longer-term challenges. The first one, increasing resilience. We've worked hard at increasing and enhancing collaboration across teams, reducing complexity, leveraging technology to become more resilient than ever, placing ourselves in a position to really thrive in the midst of all of this. We've adapted operations. Our gradual relaunch has been working very well. Registration, check-ins. Last weekend, Cornerstone Marketplace opened on the Deerfoot campus. This weekend, Discovery Land opens at both physical campuses. But perhaps the most significant development was the enhancement and expansion of our digital framework. We went beyond a live stream to so much more. We powered up our third campus, the online campus, expanding from Facebook Live and adding in YouTube and the church online platform, additional technology to stabilize our video feed and enhance the audio feed for broadcast, online devotionals, worship times, Zoom prayer meetings, weekend services became points of contact. Pastor Corey Harrison is our online campus pastor, and he's going to share some of his highlights and vision with us now.
Thanks, Pastor James. If we've never met before, my name is Corey. I'm the online campus pastor, and I'm so grateful that you're joining us today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what the FAC online experience is about and where we're going. But first of all, I just want to say you belong here. You belong at FAC. No matter where you live, whether it's here in Calgary or somewhere else in the world, you belong here. No matter where you're at in your journey with Jesus, you belong, and you are more than welcome, and we would love to have you be a part of the FAC community. Now, FAC Online is an extension of the physical campuses of First Alliance Church in Calgary, Alberta. And we desire to make a positive impact in Calgary and around the world. by doing this for building lives that honor God, all for Jesus, through connecting with God and other believers, by growing to become more like Jesus, by serving God and serving others, and sharing the love of God wherever He has us. Remember, the Christian life is Christ living His life in and through you, through the Holy Spirit. And FAC Online is a place that we want to help fulfill this purpose. In a world where people have an increasing number of online channels and apps to watch or listen to content and ways to build community, we want to engage in those channels. And we recognize that this is not just the future, it's a current reality. And just like when God told Joshua that Moses was dead, Joshua and the Israelites were faced with a new reality. Life would be different now, then. And it's time for us, the church, to focus on the now, then. And here's what I mean, whether we anticipate it or not. Life is different now. Work is different. Home is different. School is different. And it seems like everything in our worlds has been turned upside down. Now, then, what do we do? What's next for the church? What does it look like for us as a church to operate in a world that has been turned upside down? And how can we be the church and connect, grow, serve, and share with these online realities? And first, let me be clear, as I hope I can be. Just because someone is not at a physical location does not mean that they are not a part of the FAC family. In this way, our church community, it's not decreasing, it's decentralizing. And we have to understand that digital channels do not compete with physical campuses. They partner with it. They're intertwined together, working together to help us build lives that honor God, all for Jesus. Now, then, if the church is going to make an impact in the modern world, we need to move into a new reality by creating strong experiences that connect and engage our communities, no matter where people live. Because of the limitlessness of FAC Online, we're moving into a new era of ministry that can happen right in the home. You know, we are going to challenge our online community to be contributors, not just consumers. What would it look like for people to operate church in their very own home? What would it look like for discipleship, learning to be like Jesus, to happen right where we live with the people around us, our neighbors, our family, close friends, where as a disciple, we are making disciples? What if we could build community right where we live because we don't go to church, we are the church. Gathering together is something that we're made to do. You know, whether on and or whether in campus or in smaller groups at home. Now let me talk a little bit about where we're going next with FAC Online. And they're called in-person watch parties. They're another way that we're encouraging the online community to start gathering together as the church. So what is a watch party? A watch party is simply a group of people who meet in person in a home setting to watch the online church service. They pray together. They encourage one another. And they talk about what God is doing in their lives. And this is an opportunity to simply be together and that in a place that is comfortable, your very own home. And we know it's going to be a while before everyone feels safe to be a part of a large gathering. We know that. It's a fact. But we want to encourage those who are not yet ready to gather on campus to gather with their cohort, to start hosting church in their very own home, to again, be a contributor, not just a consumer, to be a disciple, that makes disciples. And I think it's important that you know what's happening with the online campus. And this is what we're going to continue leaning into as a community. This is simply an opportunity to be in a place that is comfortable for you, with the people you know, and a space that is familiar to you, your own home. And as a church, we will provide a discussion guide every weekend to give you some questions for your time together. The discussion guide can also be found on the FAC Experience app under each of the weekend services. And if you need something for the kids, you can watch out Discovery Land Kids content via YouTube or Facebook. And you can find out everything else that we have to offer for the kids via Discovery Land online. And if FAC Online is your main campus right now, and hosting a watch party is something that you would like to do, let me know so we can make sure that we have all the resources for you, so that we can encourage you and pray with you as you embark on this next journey that God is calling you towards. And we know that God can use us right where we live. I mean, we've been experiencing that through this whole pandemic. And we want to empower you and equip you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be used by God right where you live. The church is online, we are online, and we can be the hands and feet of Jesus in real and practical ways, all for Jesus.
Thank you, Corey. Now, next then comes beyond. We've had a collaborative team working together, looking beyond, thinking not just not what will we do, but also how will we actually do it? Because this is what it means to shape tomorrow. We've been asking a lot of questions and working with a number of values that are guiding us forward. Things like prioritization, because we now have new foci from facility to neighborhood, from classroom to living room, from content to engagement, from complexity to simplicity, from monologue, me, to dialogue. Our goal is not to do everything, but that everything we do is done well. My wife, Jill, summarized it like this for me. We need to move from being a buffet to a specialist cafe. Here's another word, innovation. In this world of uncertainty, we need to be able to try new things and do it quickly. We're already beginning with targeted service design for each of our three campuses. Corey's been talking about watch parties. You'll continue to see new innovation. Mobilization, because discipleship is not just about learning and being, it's also about doing. And we want to mobilize dispersed disciples across our city to do the things that Jesus told us to do. The Art of Neighboring supergroup that Pastor Brianna mentioned last week is a great beginning. Collaboration. We've celebrated that tonight with the mustard seed. We collaborate with the Food Bank, Youth Centers of Calgary, the City Social Service Department, Glenmore Christian Academy, for huge impact in our city. Acceleration. COVID is not only a disruptor, it's an accelerator. Our online campus delivery has accelerated. Our dream of watch parties has accelerated. Our leadership development program has accelerated. Our brand new dashboard of metrics has accelerated. There's also reallocation as we change a few things internally. Job functions have changed. Financial priorities are different. Space allocation has morphed. Summer students, who are really now winter students, are focused primarily upon campus development. Digitization, we've talked about it. Church on demand is a reality. As we learn to integrate online and in-person ministries, what will it take? What should we do? Realm, a brand new church management software, is coming to us early in the new year. It will enhance our processes, it will allow you to control your own data, and it will make giving much easier. We've got an ESL online library tool that's allowing the delivery of that program to go even further. We have this multilingual translation software. But there's one word in all of these things we've considered that has stood out to me. It's the word multiplication. Our pre-COVID dream was that we would continue on a three-year rapid multiplication cycle. The purpose was to reach out to the growing edges of our city. The Southwest Campus is well positioned not only to reach the existing communities there, but the new ones that are being built. And with the opening of the Southwest leg of the Ring Road next year, it will allow greater access for us. And then came the pandemic. What should we do? Where could we go? Is anything like that possible? What kind of vision should we have? It felt like we should hunker down and wait it out. But when I look to Jesus who ran the race, that's not what he did. He never quit. He pressed on. And I was faced with the awkward question, could we? Could I? It is as if God was saying to me in a moment when I was terribly afraid, be bold in your dreams. It's time to ask what could be and why not? We already know that people are more comfortable in smaller gatherings right now. We already know from experience we can go to people rather than expect them to come to us. We know we're discovering economies of scale. We're intentionally becoming more missional. We're expanding our leadership base by activating more people into ministry. We're making this transition from being consumers to contributors. In other words, we are building lives that honor God, all for Jesus. It has been our mission. It is our mission. It will continue to be our mission. And that will require multiplication if we're going to build lives. A 3-year multiplication cycle would imply that we would launch a new physical campus in the fall of 2022. Where? Possibly on the east side of the city, the East Hills area. There are new communities establishing right now, Minto, Chelsea, Drake's Landing, Belvedere. There are existing communities that we've been serving all summer long, Abbeydale, Applewood. There are people there that need to experience the love of Jesus. But what would it take? In the middle of a pandemic, what would it take? I've prayed often about this. And quite frankly, it's outrageous. And I've been very hesitant to say any of this out loud. But I'm going to, so here goes. This is what it'll take. It would take $2 million. It would take $2 million. That would pay off the existing debt on the Deerfoot campus and make us completely debt-free as a wide church family, with all sorts of resources being released into other avenues of ministry. And it would take 50 urban missionaries. What do I mean by that? 50 people who would commit to being part of this new campus. 50 people who would be willing to go and invest their lives in a place perhaps they've never been before. 50 people who would be willing to go and tell others about Jesus. 50 people who would be willing to make the trek to a new area and give all they've got to see people come to discover who Jesus is. 50 people who would dare to say, all for Jesus. The great cloud of witnesses, the saints that have gone before us, their testimony cries out to us, don't be afraid, don't give up, don't quit, press on. By God's grace, it can be done. Look to Jesus. And so today I ask you, with me, will you look to Jesus? I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then you'll find a prayer in the chat that I'd love for you to pray at home with whoever you're watching with as you make your commitment to Jesus right now. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you have run the race long and hard and gave everything and held nothing back for us. Thank you that you've brought us out of darkness into light. Thank you that you've enfolded us into your family, the church, and this expression of it, FAC. Thank you for your call upon our lives to reach our whole world with the good news of Jesus. Thank you for how you've guarded us and guided us through this pandemic. Thank you for the vision that you still give to us that we could tell others. We pray today, would you stir our hearts? Would you help us to grab the baton and run this next leg of the race that you have placed in front of us? That we would run with faith and without fear. That we would run with courage and not cowardice. That we would lift our eyes to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray in his name.